Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special this morning, and what a blessing it's already been just being in church. I trust that you sense the presence of God in this place, something that we pray for all week long. We pray that God would make this a place of refuge, and when we come through the doors, that we would sense His presence in this place. And I don't know about you, but I sure sense the presence of God in this auditorium here this morning, and praise the Lord for it. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Psalms in chapter 119, Psalm chapter 119, powerful psalm, is the longest chapter in the Bible, Psalm 119, it covers a whole lot. We're going to be reading verse 9 down to verse 18 this morning. Psalm chapter 119, if you'll stand with me, we'll start reading in verse 9. As I read, you follow right along with me. Verse 9, the Bible says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and keep thy word. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you this morning, we do thank you for your presence in this place. Thank you for the privilege and the opportunity that you made available to each one that's here to be here. And God, only you know exactly all that's going on with each one of our lives, but I know that you have us here, and I know, God, that you have a message for each and every one of us. And I pray, God, for each one that you'd help everyone to listen and hear what you have for them today. Pray that you would empower the preaching of thy word once again. Use me as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. The psalmist of chapter 119, if you'll study the entire chapter, you'll find that he's focused on God's word. Especially in the verses that we have just read, the psalmist is focused on the very words of God. In verse 18, he says, "Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." Open thou mine eyes. The psalmist was not physically blind. He was wanting to have spiritual sight or spiritual vision that only comes through God's word. The only way that we're going to understand and see certain things is for God to reveal them to us. Amen. Thy law is God's word. It's what God has revealed to humanity. The Bible that we have before us is God's love letter to mankind. It reveals the very mind and the very thoughts of God. It reveals to us things that we would not have information, we would not have any understanding of unless God revealed it. God reveals to us everything about past, present, and future. He reveals to us all about who He is. He reveals to us about an eternity, a place of heaven, a place of hell. The very law, the very words, the very insight that God has for all humanity. If all we can see is the visible and cannot see what God sees, when we face trials, when we face temptations, we will be defeated. Or, if you will, according to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, will be devoured by the adversary, the devil. The psalmist here wanted to see what God wanted him to see. And I believe that's something that every one of us ought to have the very same desire that the psalmist had, to see everything that God wants us to see. As an illustration this morning into the message, how many understand the game of golf? Okay, better, how many do not understand the game of golf? Wow, that surprises me a little bit. The game of golf is the smallest ball that you're going to have in any of the games that have to do with a ball. And the whole idea is to take this little ball here and hit it from whatever distance, whether it's a par 3, it's a shorter distance, or a par 4, or a par 5 is the longest distance, and that's the highest par that you can have. A par is getting it in the hole in that many hits. Every hit should get you closer to the green. When it gets on the green, every hole is the same. In regulation, you have two putts to get this ball in the hole. Okay? Now, it might be very hard to get it to the green for some. In regulation, in a par 3, you get it to the green in 1 because you have two putts. In a par 4, you get it to the green in 2 because you get two putts. In a par 5, a regulation, you're supposed to get it to the green in 3 because you have two putts. So if you understand the game of golf, then you understand that putting is critical for scoring. People like to hit the driver because that's manly. Amen? You want to hit it as far as you can. But the most important part of golf, because in every hole, regulation, you have two chances to get it in the hole in regulation. Two putts. Reading the greens is what's most important in getting the ball into the hole. Reading the greens, it's hard because the architects make it that way on purpose. The more expensive the golf course, the harder it is for you to read the greens, or the greens is the putting surface. The architect wants to create a green that when you're looking at it, it looks like it's uphill, when it's really downhill. You look at it from one side, it looks like it's uphill. You look at it from the other side, and it looks like it's downhill. And you have to determine if it's up or down. And then once it gets to the hole, sometimes the read is it's going to turn left. Other times it's going to turn right. Every now and then you'll have a straight putt. But you have to be able to read that. You have to be able to, with your own eyes, see something that looks like it's uphill, but in reality is downhill. That's somewhat the game of golf. It can look different from every angle. It's not until you putt that you throw your putter across the green. Because that has to be uphill. And so you hit it a little harder. And when you hit it a little harder and you realize it's going way too fast and it rolls off the green. And then you look at the other side and say, no, that was downhill. Obvious after you putted. So you either have to know how to read the greens, and everyone knows how to read them after they putt. You still don't believe it, but you know it has to turn left or right or go downhill. Or you can do what the pros do. You buy the book. that gives you the slopes to the greens. And you hire a caddy to help you to read the greens according to the architect's design of the slopes. You see, because especially in the more expensive courses, you can buy a yardage and a slope which tells you exactly how the green was built. And so even though it doesn't look like it's uphill, you know it's uphill because you've got the book in front of you, and the person who designed the green says, no matter what you might think, it's uphill. Psalm chapter 119. The psalmist was thinking about something far more important than a game of golf. He was thinking about life and eternity. And he knew what he saw might not be the truth. What he would hear about life could be a lie. And the psalmist, looking to God, says, God, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Can I tell you, in this book right here are some wondrous things that you'll never understand on your own. You'll never be able to see on your own. But when you know that God's the architect and God has written it down for us to understand it, if you truly believe that, then the psalmist's prayer would be every one of our prayers here today. Open mine eyes. Let me see what you see. And it's recorded, written down, preserved in this Bible. Behold wondrous things about ourselves. The psalmist here had revealed some wondrous things that God would help him with concerning his own life. The Bible says in verse 9, it says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? And that's a question. And the answer is, by taking heed thereto according to thy word, thy law. Wondrous things. It will help young people to cleanse their way. Or if you will, it will help young people to live right. It used to be that in America, everyone with any kind of authority believed and feared the God of the Bible. And they wanted it to be taught in our school systems. And they wanted it to be on public display in our government offices. They wanted every class. And it hadn't been that long. Even when I was in school, I remember being in school, and in the public school system, every morning it would come. I remember we got an intercom system, and the first thing that they would do in the morning is open up a public school in prayer. Because we understood how important the Ten Commandments were. We understand how important it is for young people to believe in a God and know that there is a purpose for life and understand that there isn't judgment associated with sin. And the wondrous things that are recorded in this Bible right here, can I tell you, it will help young people to live right, to cleanse themselves from the filth Satan wants to get them to buy into. Wondrous things about myself help me to cleanse my way. In verse 10, With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. You see, beholding wondrous things in the Bible, if you'll look to the Bible, it'll help us not to wander from God. We are wandering, getting away from an almighty God, and we're starting to look to idols, and we're starting to look to all sorts of different types of functions of religion, and we're looking to a lot of different kinds of gods, and we've lost the focus on the God of creation. It's in His law. If we see it, if we look to it as God would have us to, we will not wander from the Creator God. Verse 11, he says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. If we know the word of God, if we're looking to the word of God, it'll help us so that we'll not sin against God. We'll memorize it. We'll let it be a part of our thinking. We'll let it be a part of our decision making. We'll let it be a part of how I feel and not go by the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, but I will control that lust and let the feelings of the Spirit of God lead, guide, and direct me to live as God would have me to live. It's wondrous things that we can see that will help us individually. It'll help us to find joy in this life and not think that joy is found in riches of this world. Verse 14, I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies. I focused on your law and the testimonies and your promises as much as in all riches. Some people are focused in this life, think, if I only had all the money that I could have, that's going to bring me joy. That's not going to bring you joy. Money brings you a different set of circumstances. It doesn't bring joy to the poor. It doesn't bring joy to the middle class. It doesn't bring continual joy to the wealthy. They all have a different set of circumstances. What will bring you joy in your set of circumstances is the Lord. Learning what God knows about you and learning how you can apply this Bible to your life. And as you apply this Bible to your life, you'll have a peace that passeth all understanding. People are looking for a peace of mind. And that comes by way of God. In the way of thy testimonies. And one other thing it'll do for you individually. Behold wondrous things about myself when I look to the word of God. Verse 16 or 15, it says, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. To have respect for the ways of God. We're living in a society, in a world that has no respect for Christianity. As I look at myself, the Bible reveals to me and wondrous things about myself that I need to know is that I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. If you're not looking to the Bible, you're not hearing that message. If you're not looking to the Bible, you're hearing philosophies of man that tell you that you're good. Everyone is basically good. And you're just a product of the circumstances of how they were raised. And so they're really not accountable for their sin because they were raised in this way and had this experience, and that's why they turn out. But everyone is basically good. That's not what the Bible says. And if you think you're basically good, you'll never come to the place where you can be saved because you have to see yourself as being lost before you can ever be saved. If you think you're going to heaven, you'll never seek out God's plan of salvation. The Bible says in Romans in chapter 5, and this is what the Bible reveals to us, and behold wondrous things from thy word about myself. There in the book of Romans in chapter 5, verse 8 and 9, it says this, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, for all have sinned and fall short, come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood. There is no justification of sin outside the blood of Jesus Christ. We shall be saved from wrath through him. What the Word of God reveals to me about myself and something that is I need to know about myself is I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. And when I see myself as a sinner in need of a Savior, then I can look to Jesus Christ and I can be saved. Amen. I can be thankful for the blood that was shed on Calvary's cross 2,000 years ago because it was not shed in vain. If there was any other way a person could get saved, then Jesus shed his blood in vain. It wasn't shed in vain. It was the only way that anyone could be saved. Amen. If you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you have to see yourself as a lost sinner and on your way to a devil's hell and understand that Jesus paid your sin debt, and all you have to do is acknowledge it and receive the gift of everlasting life. A gift of everlasting life. Wondrous things about myself. It's either I'm a sinner in need of a Savior or saved with a sin nature that needs to be controlled. That's everybody in here. You're either lost and you need to see yourself as a lost person who needs to get saved, or you see yourself as a saved person that still has a sin nature that needs to be controlled. When you get saved, you have a new nature. God lives inside of you. If you weren't here in Sunday morning Sunday school, we just started a new series on living with the Holy Spirit of God and understanding what the Bible says about the Holy Spirit of God being God, the Holy Spirit, who dwells inside of us. And when you get saved, he comes and he is sealed into the day of redemption. And he's there to work with you, to live as God would have you to live. So you're either lost in need of a Savior or you're saved and in need of controlling yourself, controlling your sin nature. Romans in chapter 6 and verse 11 through 13, it says this. Likewise, reckon you also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. You have to reckon yourself dead indeed unto sin. You have to stop it. You have to see yourself as wanting to get away from sin. But alive unto God, and that's how you do it. You turn away from sin and you turn to God. Alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments. You have control of your members. You got to stop yielding your thoughts. You got to stop yielding yourself to these temptations. The Bible says, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God. As those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. I can know those things. They're wondrous things that I need to know about myself. Amen. If you're just looking to God and say, God, open my eyes. Let me see what you see. The most important way to see yourself is how God sees you. God loves you. He sent his son to die for you. And when you get saved, you become a child of God's. He's your heavenly Father. And he expects you to allow the Holy Spirit who dwells within you now to help lead you to live as God would have you live, and that is following after the example of Jesus Christ. That's wondrous things. That's wondrous things from God's Word. But not only that, the Bible says we need to behold wondrous things even about the world that we live in. In verse 19, he says this. He says, I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. I'm a stranger in this world. That's how every born-again believer needs to live their life. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Amen. I'm looking forward to my home in heaven. That's eternity. My home on this earth is temporal. It's wondrous things to understand what God reveals to us about this world. The Bible, first of all, says that God created it, and what God created was very good. In the first 6 days of creation, in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 31, it says after the end of the sixth day, everything that God created was created, and everything was very good. What a wondrous thing to know that. God created it very good, but Satan and sin corrupted it. Now we're living on a planet Earth that God created, and He created it all very good. But something happened. Man fell to sin. And Satan and sin corrupted the world that we live in. 2 Corinthians in chapter 4, marvelous thing, wondrous things that I know about the earth now, from the Bible. The Bible tells me about this. I don't have to believe in evolution. I don't believe that things just happened to turn out the way they did. I believe in a design, a creator God who designed things exactly the way He wanted them designed. He could design the humanity. He designed the man for the woman. He designed the woman for the man. He designed how they were going to procreate. He designed the earth for man to live in it. He designed a 24-hour day. He designed the earth to rotate around the sun. He designed the moon to rotate around the earth. God designed it all. And it was very good. It was very good until it was corrupted. Now that it's corrupted, we find that Christ brought to us some understanding about the world that we live in. In 2 Corinthians in chapter 4, in verse 3, the Bible says this, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost." The lost cannot understand this. They do not want to look to the laws of God because they don't believe in God. That's why they're lost. "But in whom the God of this world hath blinded the mind of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." God revealed to us that even though this world was created very good, Satan and sin has corrupted it, and now Satan is referred to as the God of this world. Humanity is following after the God of this world and not the Creator God that we are to be looking to. It's wondrous to understand that. It helps me to reject humanistic philosophies. It helps me to reject what the Bible says is sin. Amen? I'm not going to accept something as is acceptable to humanity when the Bible says, when Almighty Creator God says, it is a sin. Yeah. It's wondrous to be able to enjoy God's creation, but separate ourselves from corruption. Amen. You see, this physical world, God created it. And we're living here. Amen. We can learn to enjoy God's creation as long as we are rejecting the corruption that has set in. How do I reject the corruption? Separation. Separation from that which is opposite the will of God for your life. And the Bible tells us that 1 Corinthians in chapter 6. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians in chapter 6, verse 16, actually, I want you to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians. There's both of them. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and chapter 6 and 2 Corinthians. But 2 Corinthians chapter 6, I want you to see this in verse 16. "And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? There is none. For ye are the temple of the living God." You're saved, living on this earth. "As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, understanding that, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you. When you're living as God would have to live, and you're looking to Him as your heavenly Father, can I tell you, that is a sense of security, that is joy, that is peace. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. To be able to enjoy God's creation, but separate ourselves from the corruption. That's the life that we live, ought to be living. Yeah. It's wondrous. Some wondrous things to behold about myself, some wondrous things to behold about this world, and something that the psalmist didn't have, but that we have it today, that Jesus Christ brought to us. Behold wondrous things about New Testament Christianity. The whole New Testament reveals some wonderful things to us about New Testament Christianity. Turn with me and I'll be done with after this, but first, Ephesians in chapter 1. Ephesians in chapter 1. Verse 15. The Bible says, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, Paul writing to the church of Ephesus, I've heard of your faith, your belief in Jesus Christ, and love unto all saints. Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. We have a full revelation now. We have the completion of the Scriptures, a full understanding of who God is, a full understanding of what God expects from humanity, what God expects from Christianity, what is ahead of us, looking forward to the rapture of the church, looking forward to heaven itself. That you have a full understanding unto the spirit of wisdom, revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding. The spiritual eyes, just as the psalmist spoke, he was not blind, but he wanted to see what God saw. And God says, I'm going to give you the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. That's eternal life, heaven. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. Wondrous things to behold, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and set Him on His own right hand in the heavenly places. Today, Jesus sitting on the right hand of God, ever living to make intercession for us. What a wondrous thought. At any time, I can get a hold of God the Father because Jesus Christ is my intercessor. Yeah. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion, every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is come, and hath put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church. The head of the church is Jesus Christ, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Behold wondrous things. Can you see them? I'm asking this morning, don't look through your eyes. It might look uphill when it's really down. You might think it's going to turn right. It's going to turn left. Stop trying to figure it out from your own understanding. We don't have to. Just buy the book. Amen. Don't even have to buy it. We'll give you a copy of it if you want it. But look to it. There's some wondrous things to behold from God's Word. Do you see it? If you don't see it, come let somebody help you with it. Come let somebody help you to understand what you need to do to be saved. And then you can see things as God would have you to see things. Praise God for the wondrous things in creation as long as we stay away from the corruption. Praise God for what we have in Christianity. a gift of everlasting life. Can you see it? If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. The psalmist said, open mine eyes. God, I want to see what you want me to see. Wondrous things from thy law. There's some wondrous things to behold. Do you see it? Father, we bow before you. And we do love you and thank you, Lord, for the precious word of God, for the opportunity to be in church today. And Lord God, I have preached what you would have me to preach, and now I just pray that you might take it and make the application wherever it needs to go, that everyone here would know exactly what they are to receive from the preaching of thy word. There's some here today that's lost. God, I pray they would not walk out these doors, but they would come to this altar and let someone take a Bible and help them to see wondrous things and be saved. There might be a Christian here that's running from the will of God and living in sin, and God, help them to see wondrous things, how they need to turn back to you. God, would just work in our midst. Speak to everyone as we have need to be spoken to, and help us to make decisions. For this we ask in Jesus' name.